This is Real One, and this is talking today to Tom Barlow. Tom, can you just tell us where you were born and when you were born, please?
11th of March 1921 in Wellington.
Okay, and you're now living 78 years later on the outskirts of Warrington now, aren't you?
We shall in Thelwall.
Thelwall, yes. Mm-hmm. What about early thoughts? Your mum and your dad, what did your mum and dad do?
Well, we lived in a church house, went out with an army schooling and such, loved the schools till the 14, left school at 14, and at that time everybody was out of work, work was very scarce, so I didn't get a job for 2 years. Then I started at the aluminium factory in an office, which my half sister got the job for me, and I stayed there till I was 18. Nothing unusual about that life, it was normal everyday life, nothing exciting. In the May, I think it was, we joined the Territorial 2nd 4th South Lancashire Regiment. As I said before, well, I saw that I wouldn't go for the National Service, and we did the that because of winter night school as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, 1st of September, which I think was a Friday, was called up to report to the local drill. I mean, next Saturday was shipped out to Ormskirk, where we lived in an attic in a pub. We had no blankets, we slept on newspapers for a week. They got the food from the hotels, which when we got it was stone cold. We had no equipment. We then did our training as signals with the 1st Force out there because they had equipment, all 1914-18 equipment, but we had our training with them up to a certain point. So we went from this pub to Littlewood Sports Club, where we were billeted for a few weeks. Then we moved from there to Prescott Vicarage, where we did a bit more training. Then we split up and came back to Armsford and slept in the drill hall. From the drill hall, we then moved to Mobile.
Yeah. Just before you go any further there, Tom, was your dad in the forces at all? He was. Right. And what about your mum's parents or your mum's side of the family? No.
Her mother was alive, but she was blind. She was bedfast. Her baby remembered her. But we never remembered any well of grandparents as such.
Yeah.
Really. Anyway.
Yeah. What about brothers and sisters? Did you have brothers and sisters? Right.
I had no. My father and mother had been married in the region. My father married her in our business suit. We've no relatives.
Did your dad encourage you to join the forces, or he didn't?
But he didn't stop me either.
Right. Could you say that he was proud at all, or what was his feelings when you joined up? Any ideas?
He never commented on it. He never made any remarks about it. And the day I was called up and was sat in the morning and I got my uniform on for being in charge of it, my father went to work and I was on the own. And a man came from opposite, who had been in the First World War, and said, "Come and give me a lift." And he started out to get ready and then off I went to the army.
Right.
That was me gone.
Yeah. But when you joined up, I mean, presumably you get kitted out and you get a number.
Well, we already had a number being the church order.
Right.
We also had a uniform.
Okay.
And equipment as such.
What was your number, by the way, Tom?
365231, which is the South Lanch number.
Okay.
A national uniform. It's a ready national uniform.
Right. Right.
All staff got judgments up to, say, 1940. All staff at 56.55 and 56.54 and 56.54, which is regimented. We went to St. Albans to transport the dogs. We went by train, the requisite for transport. All sorts of things happened. We drove down to the document, we were near some of them. There's a mountain all before. All over the winter, 1940, bad winter, when we were at Christmas, we went working in the railway junction in Poland.
This is 1940, is this? 40.
We had a bad year, bad winter, very bad winter. And we were moving the snow off the land, which we also put in the winter cold for the snow.
So, yeah, so you said you joined up September the 1st, didn't you?
I was called up.
Called up September 1st. Because war broke out September 3, didn't it?
We was in Armsgirt Church, and the vicar announced it to the vicar.
Can you remember how you felt then, or?
I don't think we realised.
No.
It's something at that time, at that age, they didn't realise what was happening. You didn't take it in. With no sort of feelings either way at the time, because we didn't really take what war meant.
No.
We had no idea what war meant, and
no.
Therefore we didn't realise what was going to happen.
Because you were how old then?
18.
18. Young boy, really.
Really, yeah.
Teenager. Yeah. What about your training? What did your training consist of around that time?
When we was at arms school, when we started up, we had no training. As such, we used to go for three runs in the people's field on three marches and 5 marches. Then we went to the sports field where we learned some of what we had, and we knew more of the keys in 1930 and 18 keys. We were learning Morse code, learning how to type and not something type of mind. And more or less that was it until we moved back to one. But then we went to another building. And then in that small grade, we started getting some equipment. We got survival. And then it came to me one day, he'd been riding all his life, and said, no, there's not many people who could live today.
No.
All that pushbike. So four of us went down to the transport, and they gave us a 500 PSA motorbike each. We asked them how we drove it.
Right.
So we swiftly turned this on the petrol, we kicked it here, and this four levers we would put it to the one, push it down to the two, push it down to the three, down to the one, that's it, you're away.
That was the training you had for.
That was the training we got to ride a motorbike.
Yeah. Did you come off it at all while you were practicing?
I come off it while I was riding this motorbike. Then we moved from Mount Road, where we went to South Road, near Lowestown.
Yes, yes.
Do you like a coffee?
Oh, yes, please, I would. Cup of tea, please. Thank you.
Sugar,
one sugar and some milk, please, thanks.
We went to South Wales, where the evacuation was from the snow. The first job the companies did there was to put a pyramid in. Then there was a smart old narrow bridge, pebbly bridge,
yes.
With a concrete platform at the end of it, just about the back of the section. They had a local fishermen doing every day, digging the pebbles out so that the Germans landed, they couldn't get because of the wave, but when the tide came in, it pulled it in again. So every day they were out again, digging it out again.
Oh, I see.
And this was a regular thing.
Yeah.
We had telephone lines for all of the first companies. And then the Navy came for about 5 miles outside, and then the 16-inch wings. Firing pumps and blew all the windows out in South Wales.
Oh, right.
So they had to take it down the beach again.
This had Dunkirk happened at this stage?
Yes.
It had.
Dunkirk happened in May. Well, I was then the second war battalion centre. The first battalion centre was in the 3rd Division, and they were the last division to leave France.
Right.
And they were the first division to go back in France.
Yes.
It's in the. And their archive was such that true or not, I don't know, but no reason to doubt it.
Well,
we were at South Wall, and then. we heard inland a bit, but it was all the moon to the sun.
Yeah.
Where we slept in the attic again.
Yeah.
We all got lousy. So we came to the hospital and had a shower, bath, and everything else, and all our clothes purigated, and then they gave us some tin with paint, which is a toilet paint, just like we did. Not knowing it was paraffin.
Oh, right.
And when it got to the part, so there it
stung a bit, didn't it?
It did. So we were there then, and all was seen. So we moved from there, then my, the army did not have a chance to get to the culture from position to Cheltenham.
Mm.
I was there about a week, we went on the maneuvers, we ran in a bench fight. In the dark, passage of 25 pound buildings, and there was a wall on the right, but it was a stone wall.
Yeah.
Which is stone. And as I was passing on the deep, it was a little bottom. It threw me against the wall, and it broke all the bones across my arm.
Right. Yeah.
So I ended up in hospital. They set it, then after about a week, they sent me to a left shoulder by the countryside, they call it Harvard's House, and they had about 12 patients, namely out in the areas. But the services wouldn't send anybody there because it was all related to counting the people that was in the hotel.
Yeah.
But during the fight, it was marvellous.
Mm.
It was.
Smashing.
So we was there about, fortnight, and then they closed it down because they couldn't get no patients. They had 50 beds spare that they could use it. I came back to the barracks at Wellington. If he was in hospital over 3 weeks, he would have got a wireless thing. But then he went back to the depot. And I was at Wellington depot for indefinitely, about 6 months.
Mm.
I never slept in the barracks, it was full of the ball every night.
Home.
Home.
They didn't realise it.
What?
They didn't realise it.
Well, there were so many people there who lived like animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think room puts in there, and there's so many bodies in there in the morning, you open the door, it's absolutely smelt, you know, with the bodies.
Sure.
While we was there, we went to Liverpool one night, you know, bus into Liverpool on the way to one. And we were putting in trailers of the money from the tenants in a big flat tenement, and we was on the one of the first floor, and we had a blanket to paint.
Yeah.
What we were supposed to do, we don't know. They gave us a rifle, which was a Boer War issue, and 5 rounds of ammunition, and we stood there all night. But we didn't go up. But I think it was a PR exercise.
Yes.
They were panicking in the police, you know, air raids, and I think they flooded that night with troops to boost the morale.
Mm. This would be when? This would be, what, 40, 41?
It could be, yes.
About that time?
Yeah, probably about 41. we were there the night, and we came back. Then, a few months after that, I was posted to the first battalion or something,
right,
which was a regular battalion. And they were at, on the south coast, Dorchester. And I joined the signal section there.
Well, were you a private at this stage, or?
Huh?
Were you a private?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we were riding a motorbike, I didn't do any duty.
Right.
So it suited me.
Yes.
I mean, the money of the promoter was happened to have been handy, but being the dispatcher, there was nobody who could give us, tell us what to do, what not to do.
Mm.
So we got away with quite a lot of it. But,
yeah.
You know, discipline, which I wasn't a good soldier as such, I didn't like discipline. So it suited me. As far as I was concerned, I was in the army as well. As short as possible.
Mm. Yeah. But you had training as a signaller,
yeah,
initially, and then they trained you as a dispatch rider, it would appear.
I learned to ride on my own.
Trained yourself, yeah.
I was in Dorchester with them, with dispatch riding. It was all along the south coast. And then from Dorchester, we went to St Albans. It was at Dorchester Clarke, and then we went to St Albans.
Mm.
We was there quite a while, but then we went from St Albans for about a month to Peterborough to picture of an Air Force camp where we leave with a soldier battalion and I did some sliding.
Yeah.
Then we went back in the middle of the winter. I know it was cold because it was very icy, we were coming off the motorbikes, sliding all over the place. And then we went to Scotland for a month. And we went on which I believe was the first amphibious craft that the country ever had.
Right.
It was two pontoons lashed together with duck boards. The duck boat, two duck boards at either end with a steel pin through and two piece of rope and an outboard engine. And we went across a lot fine on a Brengel carrier and me on a motorbike.
Mm.
When we got the other side, I couldn't get off because the sump of the motorbike was too low.
Right.
And I had to lift it off.
Right. Okay, Tom, so you were on this lock in Scotland, weren't you, or in a boat or something?
Yeah. They had a boat, a ship on there called the Ettrick, and it was used as a cargo before the war, cargo passenger ship. And they were learning to go down boat nets.
Oh, right.
So during the night, they went from the night to the boat nets in the ship in the I suppose it was the cabins.
Mm.
No lights at all. So somebody eventually found the light and then they took it. All the walls were covered with cockroaches. Thousands of them.
What year was this, Tom?
Not a bit, 1942, probably 41, 42.
And you were training at that stage to come down cargo nets?
That was the first part of learning to put what they call combined operations.
Yeah, yeah.
We went back to St Albans. We was there a while, then we went back to Scotland again, then we went back to St Albans. Then from there we went to the Isle of Wight.
Mm.
We was on the Isle of Wight all the summer, where we did nothing but two boats. We just stood there for any other work, I suppose. We were there in case anybody, the Germans, decided
yeah.
going to come.
Yeah. And at this stage, you were in, what division were you at this stage?
Third Division.
South Lanks. Yeah, first South Lanks?
First Battalion South Lanks.
South Lanks, Third Division, yeah.
The same brigade was the East Yorks and the Suffolk Regiment.
Yeah.
It was the 8th Brigade.
Yeah.
We were on the Isle of Wight for a few months. Then we came off the Isle of Wight and went to Parkstone. That's not Parkstone. We was there all summer. We were just up and down the coast occasionally, relieving other people while they did other things. Parkstone, we went to Scotland. No, we went to Folkestone.
Yeah.
Where we were there, and there were full troops there, and heavy sort, and the Germans used to fire a few shells over into Folkestone. If we were in the cinema, we had to leave, go back to the call of the barrack, who was in a big hotel.
Yeah.
While we was there, I went on the telephone exchange for 3 or 4 days in tunnels inside the cliffs.
At Dover, is this? Or at Folkestone? At Folkestone.
It's between Folkestone and Dover.
Mm.
I don't know where they all led to, but we were about a quarter of a mile in the tunnel.
Oh, right.
In this exchange. Well, we did our recruiting and we left it prior and we were in there for 3 days and then we were leave somebody else to go back. We were on a telephone exchange of about 60 lines.
Mm.
Where they went to, no idea. We got back from Folkestone to Folkestone and then, by mistake, I was put on an advance party. We went to Scotland. And it was a mistake, apparently there was 2 bars over. And they got them mixed up.
Oh, right.
I went, and it should have been some other bar though.
Got it.
Anyway, we were 2 or 3 days getting to Scotland. We went to a place called Cannonbridge, which is 20 miles north of Dumfries. And the division had just gone out there and had gone to release. Well, we were at Cannonbridge for 9 or 10 months, but we kept going to the northwest part of Scotland. Down Isle of Egg and all those places, and a place called Halicle, where we were going down rope ladders and cross streams on ropes and all this sort of stuff. And we were landing with the Navy in cutters. Well, they look small relatively, but when you get them, they're quite big. The only thing, they have a deep keel. So when you tried to land, you went over the side, you were in 5 foot of water.
Yeah.
So you land wet through, and then you'd be out 2 days, 3 days, and it dried on you.
Could you swim at this stage?
Well, I could swim a little bit.
Did the army teach you to swim, or didn't?
No, never. So we were doing this for a while, and we sort of come down that we were doing nothing else but combined operation. Going on ships, landing now, developed landing craft. We went to Loch Linney, Port William, and we did a 3 day march where the other day we marched over the mountains and at night we marched along the road and it rained. So we walked to a helicopter, as I say, which is the big helicopter which the Navy had. And we fed like lords compared to what the Army got.
Yeah.
We were on the Navy ration. And they had their marvellous food to what we got. We was there about a month or so, climbing mountains, going across rivers, all this sort of thing. And then we came back to Cambridge. And from Cambridge, then we went to a place called Forest, on the northwest coast, where we did more training. I didn't do much, we were riding a motorbike. And we used to pass. Of course, those days we got to know two girls who worked in the local grocery shop in the high street. So whoever was on duty that day had sound their horn as it passed the shop. And when they were on the way back, because we used to do a run, a duty dispatch used to run, and they call it the run, twice a day, taking dispatches to each company.
Yeah.
Right? So as you come to the shop, you'd sound the horn, carry on, coming back, they'd have a little parcel for you with tea, sugar, and chocolate biscuits and everything else in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
So we used, that was a daily trip, and it was on duty, called for the little box, because we got to know these two girls that worked in there. We were there, and then we moved from there to Grantown on Spey, and we was in the golf club, and we was there during the winter.
Sounds like you stayed in some nice places. You had some staying in hotels and golf clubs.
We were empty when we went in.
Yeah.
Only shelves, there's no furniture.
All right.
We slept on the floor.
Right.
You know, just the ground sheet on the floor and a blanket on the floor, and two over in summer, in which you got four blankets.
Mm.
You put your overcoats on every time, but there were only shelves, there was no facilities.
No.
I mean, no facilities whatsoever. I mean, you didn't get hot water in the morning because you weren't sharing cold water.
Yeah. So it sounds more comfortable than in fact it was.
Huh?
It sounds more comfortable than in fact it was.
Oh, yes, and then I could have been in the garden shed for all it was. But in Grantown on Spey, this is where we just talked about the chap went through the window. I got called out the other night to go to Brigade HQ, which was over the mountains. There's no signpost. And being dark, you couldn't read a map. But they told me, whatever you do, always keep to the right going across the mountains. So I'll keep to the left, I'm sorry. Anyway, I got going and I come to a fork road. And I didn't know which was right and which was left, which was a fork road. So I decided to take the left one. I must have gone about a mile and I saw some glimmering in front of me. I pulled up about 3 foot from the river. And it was a ford.
Really?
And stopped. Obviously on the wrong road. And funny enough, and even then, a man came walking up, and I turned and asked him, he told me, you're on the wrong road, you should have taken the right road. But I pulled up about 3 foot.
So in the middle of nowhere, this chap is there as your company is called.
I got to brigade, came back, and I was coming back, this is where I came about, this chap jumping through the window. Going across this field to a little wooden hut there, we had the motorbike, there was a figure running. And he shouted, can you put your light out? So he put the light out. Got in the golf club. We had double beds of about 2 foot, 6 inches off the floor and about 3 foot, 6 inches off the floor. And he was getting in. So I'll see you tomorrow. Next day, he told me what's happened was in Grantown on Spey, which was going to be yes, canteen. And he got in with one girl that was helping a mother there. And she lived in a bungalow.
Oh.
So when we all went to bed, he was getting up, put his pumps on, and she was leaving the bungalow window open.
Oh, I see.
And he was dead, he was coming back in the morning and I couldn't come in. But he told me this, and of course, you don't, in the army, this is one thing you never do. You don't matter what anybody does, you never split.
Mm.
It's an unwritten law.
Mm.
A week after he went on leave, he lived in Gatwick, Liverpool, in a semi with his mum and partner. He came home on the train, which is about a 12-hour journey, but you never got to sleep, so you slept on the corridor or stood in the corridor or the luggage rack or whatever it was. He gets home in the morning, instead of going to bed, goes out. Well, if you wanted to drink, you could drink all day, because you had to go.
Mm.
So he went out and came in at night time. Your mother asked him if he wanted any supper. He said, no, we're in bed. He goes to bed, and about 5 minutes in, and knocked on the door, and he stood there. He walked through the bedroom window in the semi-detached. he comes back and he's limping, and he tells him what's happened. He walked through the bedroom window.
He was thinking he was in a bungalow or something, was he?
He thought he was a girl again.
Yeah.
And he slept, and he subconsciously got out of bed and through the window.
Yeah.
And all he was spraying his ankle.
Yeah. Well, he's lucky then.
And he was lucky.
When is this? Is this about 1942?
This is about 1942,
43.
42, 43. Maybe. Mm. Oh, and from Grand Town,
do you remember when the Americans came into it and what the news was at that time?
We had very little to do with Americans.
Right.
We were very little.
Hmm.
What we used to do when we went from, say, St Albans to Scotland, which we did about 3 or 4 times, I was on the motorbike and we used to be on the convoy and the battalion go by train, transport over by road. We used to talk transit camps. Well, one was at Preston, one was at Doncaster Racecourse. You slept on the stands, on the bench seats. Preston, the admission was. There was one at Carlisle. There was one down at Lichfield, I think, near Lichfield. What we used to do, if we were on the convoy, we got with the interstate Doncaster Preston. As soon as the convoy got to Preston Doncaster, we were on the motorbike, we were home. You know, we fill up with petrol and a spare tank in the can. We home to Warrington.
Yes.
And get up next morning and get back before the convoy moved off.
Yeah.
This is one of the jokes why we stuck to the job, because we got away with things.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, we was on manoeuvres in Scotland and we had a new colonel. And every time we went on manoeuvres, he'd say to the signal officer, all those with me. Why, I don't know. Because I never did anything. All I did was follow him around like a lapdog. He'd be in his pickup. And we went to brigade once and I stood there till we were coming back. Got to this wood where they all went up and had the meal. I went to the crew council and such. I said I wanted dinner, and of course I was told where to go, you know, they packed up everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I go back to where the colonel and the sergeant, who was the next signal officer. And of course he said, well, you want? I said, I can't get a meal. Why? I said, they've told me I can't have one. So the adjutant said, he goes back to the cook house of the truck, just like get all the equipment off, you cook him a meal. But before you serve it, send for me because I want to taste it. In other words, you've been making sure they didn't give me a load of rubbish.
Yes.
And he did. So I wasn't very popular, but I got a good meal. Another time, I'd been out all night. Go to the cook house, 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd just gone in, this was a carrot bread. I said, can I have a cup of tea? And I was told no. Off he went. The next time I was on the convoy, I was going down the convoy, passing this coop truck, and the sergeant shouted to me, get me some cigarettes. And I, no chance. So when we stopped, what's wrong with you? I said, and I didn't get a cup of tea. I was told where to go. I said, you can go to the same place with your cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay? So after that, I always got a cup of tea. I'm at the cooker, I got the tea.
But what was the food like at this stage in the army? Was it not good?
We never got good food in the army.
Mm.
The Air Force got better food, the Navy got better food.
Mm.
In the army, in the infantry anyway, you it was always called the PBI. You heard that saying?
Poor bloody infantry.
That's right. Well, you were the last in the line to get it. By the time everyone else had their share, you got the last. We never got good food. You got enough to eat, but you're old to the best and more. And sometimes with rubbish. And in Scotland, they, one day a week, you get bread and got biscuits.
Right.
They had that, certain bread. They had a petrous day as well. And nobody's supposed to go on the road. Well, I used to go on the road because I used to get a special pass. Somehow the government just said, boy, because
it was a spatch
riding.
Yes.
I got pulled up several times at military police, but I was always covered.
Yeah. I suppose...
He keeps in touch with his signal officer, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name, by the way? Ashcroft.
You know Ashcroft that's in the news? No. With the Conservatives?
Oh, yes, I do, yes. Oh, right. Oh, right.
Mind you, I think it's so great. He just was in the right place at the right time.
Sure. Where does he live, by the way?
Who?
Ashcroft.
Yeah, well, he lives at near Blackpool, which is
before
he's in the
outside.
Yeah.
But,